Now here is the moderator of today's program, Steve McCormick.
The annual battle over the adoption of civil rights legislation is now being debated on Capitol Hill. This year, as in the past, many new amendments have been proposed which may determine whether Congress will finally adopt a civil rights program. The most controversial amendment, which has caused a furor, is the so-called trial by jury edition, introduced by Southern Democrats and vigorously opposed by the president and his administration. Today on the American Forum, we are pleased to have two distinguished members of Congress who strongly disagree on the subject. Senator Sam J. Ervin, Democrat of North Carolina, member of the Senate Judiciary Committee, and author of the Trial by Jury Amendment, and Congressman Emanuel Sulla, Democrat of New York, veteran chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, and author of the present Civil Rights Bill. Well, gentlemen, just what is this Civil Rights Bill? What does it mean to you? Senator?
Well, if I had to state it in a nutshell, I would say that it's a bill to deprive state and local officials of the right to invoke for their protection in courts of justice the constitutional and legal safeguards erected by the Founding Fathers and Congress to protect all Americans from governmental and judicial tyranny.
Well, Congressman Sulla, may I ask you the same question?
Well, I think I would have to differ with you, Sam, on that definition. The Civil Rights Bill, which happens to bear my name, is a bill to provide means for further securing and protecting the civil rights of all persons within the jurisdiction of the United States. The record of some of the states, unfortunately, indicates a corrosion of those civil rights, particularly the right to vote, indicates a filching from certain of the elements of our population of their civil rights. And this bill seeks to protect those civil rights and offers remedies whereby those rights may be protected.
Such a corrosion, Senator?
The Attorney General came before the Subcommittee of the Senate, and he enumerated alleged deprivation of the right to vote in three precincts in my state out of about 2,300. He said he got them from FBI reports, which he withheld from me in the committee. I contacted my state election board and found out that these matters were reported to them, and that within a few days, by administrative procedures, they had corrected them. Now, the only other allegation in my state was made by the NAACP, which alleged that there had been 29 Negroes deprived of the right to vote out of a total colored population of over 1 million and out of a total state population of over 4 million. And the NAACP representative testified that in these cases, the report was made to the Attorney General and to the State Board of Elections of North Carolina, and that the State Board of Elections of North Carolina assured him that steps would be taken to correct all cases requiring correction, and he said he had no further complaint. I know nothing about other states.
Mr. Sulla.
Well, the testimony that was adduced before the Judiciary Committee, of which I was chairman, indicated quite the contrary, and that there was flagrant violations of election laws whereby certain elements were deprived of the right to vote in states of like Louisiana, Alabama, Tennessee, and Mississippi. I am free to confess that we didn't have much testimony as far as your state was concerned, Senator, and I'm very happy to relate that. But if you take the figures of the number of qualified voters in the 8 southern states, figures of qualified voters who are colored, qualified voters who are white, and then see actually the number of those who voted, you'll find a tremendous discrepancy in that many, many more whites proportionally vote.
Now, on this figure business, this doesn't apply to you, but down in my state, in my county, we have a section called the South Mountains. And over there, there's a man that bought a lot of stuff on credit at a grocery store. He went in to pay his bill, and he asked for his bill, and the storekeeper told him what the bill was, and he thought it was much less, and that it should be much less. He started to complain, and the storekeeper laid out his account books and said, said, you know, figures don't lie. And the South Mountain there said, no, but lies sure do figure. Now, in my state, the NAACP executive head came before and said we were depriving niggers of the right to vote in North Carolina because only 155,000 of them had voted, according to his figures. I said, well, by the same figures, We are depriving many more white people of the right to vote because we have 1,700 and over 1,700,000 white people that are old enough to vote, and only about half of them voted. So we're on your reasoning, we are depriving more white people the right to vote than our colored people.
Well, we had testimony along these lines, Sam, that in some of the voting precincts in various states, they have tests, so-called intelligence tests, applicable to whites and blacks alike. But the colored people had questions addressed to them like as follows. How many drops are there in a lemon? How many seeds are there in a watermelon? And they were asked to explain abstruse provisions of the Constitution, which neither whites nor blacks could adequately explain. And it was by those so-called intelligence tests, in many instances, that innocent people were actually deprived of their vote. Now, we had a great deal of testimony along those lines.
We had some testimony, too. We had a man that came up here from Mississippi to tell about the terrible conditions down there. And he got along pretty well as long as he read the prepared statement. And when I started to cross-examine him, told him to come back the next morning for cross-examination, and he fled under cover of darkness rather than come and face cross-examination. That man had been paraded all over the United States to tell about these terrible things.
Well, you're a very astute cross-examiner, and I don't think you'd frighten anybody, but your astuteness as a former judge and a prosecuting attorney naturally would make
sense. Well, thank you. Now, let me tell you another case. Another one of these organizations on my state, he came in and they filed a complaint in a suit where a man claimed he'd been deprived of the right to vote. They put in a complaint making the allegations, but inadvertently, they left out the answer. They left out the jury verdict, which said the complaint was not true, and they left out the judgment of the court, which judged that the man had no cause of action.
Senator, let me go back to the bill, if I may.
I want to say this. We also had evidence to the effect that hundreds of names were stricken from the rolls, the federal rolls of voters in a number of states. Great difficulty was had in restoration of those names. No reason was given for the striking of those names. It was arbitrarily done. And those are the things that we seek to correct.
Well, gentlemen, let me go back to the bill.
We have the same situations in a modified degree up north, and the bill that I'm advocating, it bears my name, would be applicable all over the country. It wouldn't be only applicable in the South. It would be applicable everywhere.
No, but most people seem to think it's purely a question of race, that is, a colored race, Bob. It's broad enough to cover everything all over the country, but fundamentally, the trouble with your bill, the reason my opposition to it is not based on racial grounds. It's based upon the fact that I think that it's necessary to defeat this bill in order to preserve the American constitutional and legal systems for the benefit of all Americans, of all races, and all generations. Now, the trouble with this bill fundamentally is that is designed to deprive people of the right of trial by jury. Under present laws, the only way the government can enforce civil rights is by jury trials under the Constitution. And this bill takes to pervert the process of equity from its accustomed field to the field of criminal law solely for the purpose of depriving people of the right of trial by jury in civil rights cases.
Well, of course, I must take emphatic exception to that statement, Sam. I'm a civil libertarian. My record has been one to indicate that I seek to preserve and enhance civil rights, not to subtract from them or to destroy them.
If I may interrupt you, I'll agree with this. This is the only time I've ever known you to backslide into error on this kind of proposition.
There's no error whatsoever. I think I'm on the firmest kind of ground. The trial by jury issue is a specious argument. It's a beguiling one, rather attractive. It is an innocuous slogan, but it has within it seeds of great danger. We do not take away the trial of jury whenever a crime has been committed. This is not a question of the commission of a crime. This bill seeks to prevent and forestall and forfend the commissions of wrongs and gives the Attorney General the right to go in where complaint has had to prevent the commission of crime. And if then an application is made to the federal court for an injunction. An injunction against a registrar of voters, for example.
Well, this is the fact, isn't it? That at the present time, the only way the government has to enforce civil rights is by criminal prosecutions, and does not the Constitution provide for jury trials and criminal prosecutions?
Yes, but this is not aimed at criminal prosecutions.
It's,
the idea of this bill is to prevent the commission of a crime, to prevent the wrong, to get the wrong in its incipiency so that the wrong will not be consummated. And that's not a crime.
Well, it's
a civil remedy, if I may just finish a moment. And if the Attorney General goes into the district court and he gets an order which compels, for example, the Register of Voters or Board of Elections to restore a name that's stricken from the list. Now, if there's a violation and the Board of Elections refuse to abide by that order, that's deemed a contempt of court. Now,
this
we've
becomes
never
a
had...
little complex for the average layman, gentlemen.
Well, a contempt of court is where a man refuses to abide by a decision of the court. And in those kind of cases, we've had, only with few exceptions in our history, trial by jury. We've never had trial by juries ordinarily in cases of violations of contempt of court.
I think I'm on firm ground. I hate to interrupt you.
Go ahead, Senator.
But Senator Norris, in the first place, this is a perversion of equity. When the Constitution was written, equity was only used to protect property rights against irreparable injury. It was never used in the field of crime. And if the Founding Fathers had ever thought that we would pervert the course of equity to deprive people their constitutional right to trial by jury, we'd never had a Constitution. Now, under the existing law, in a civil rights proceeding by the government, a man has a constitutional right to be indicted by a grand jury, a constitutional right to be tried by petit jury,
and a
constitutional right to confront and cross-examine his accusers. No, but your bill fixes a way by which the Attorney General can circumvent, dodge, evade those rights.
Is that right, Mr. Sullivan?
No, I must take exception again. We're trying to prevent the commission of the crime. Now, it's interesting, just to quote briefly, Mr. Moderator, a decision of the United States Supreme Court.
That a brief one, Mr. Sullivan?
It's brief.
All right.
It has been always a... It has always been one of the attributes, one of the powers necessary incident to a court of justice, that shall have this power of vindicating its dignity, of enforcing its orders, of protecting itself from insult, without the necessity of calling upon a jury to assist it in the exercise of this power. Now, that's what we do. The court issues an order, and the court has a right to have its order obeyed without the right of trial by jury. Because it's prophylactic, it's preventative.
If a man is guilty of a violation of the order, this bill converts crimes into contempts so that a man can be put in jail without a trial by jury. Now, Senator Norris said when he insisted on the right of trial by jury in all contempt cases, civil and criminal and labor disputes, said that try to get his exact words.
Take your time, Senator.
Perhaps we can come back to the point a little later, Senator.
Well, anyway, the whole object of this bill is to keep people from having the right of trial by jury. The Attorney General said that the reason he wanted the bill was to get away from jury trials. He said that the jurors might not convict. Mm-hmm. He said the jurors might not convict in some civil rights cases where he'd like to convict if he was compelled to make out the government's case to the satisfaction of a jury by oral testimony of cross-examined witnesses in the manner provided by the Constitution in criminal cases, such as of civil rights cases, and therefore he wants to convert criminal cases on the civil rights into contempt.
Let's take that statement of the Attorney General about criminal cases, and we're trying to get away from the trial of criminal cases where we have this charged excitement in various areas of the country. We had a very anomalous situation developed only last week on May 30th, where an all-white jury, after exactly 95 minutes of deliberation, acquitted two white men of charges that they had bombed a Negro Baptist church. And there, the defense attorney, without remonstrance from the court, was permitted to appeal for a verdict freeing the defendants on the ground that that otherwise the jury would give encouragement, quote, to every white man, every white woman, and every white child in the South who is looking to preserve our sacred traditions. Now, in an atmosphere charged with that excitement, it's well to keep away from criminal trials because petty juries would refuse, to convict. And the idea is to clear on the civil side.
Pass that meeting over to Senator Irvin now. Go ahead, Senator. Go ahead,
Sam. There have been acquittals by juries in all cases, in Alabama, New York, North Carolina. And whenever the day comes that juries do not return verdicts of not guilty in some cases, liberty has perished in America. Now, I've come to pound Senator Norris's statement. Senator Norris said, I said when the bill, that's the Norris-LaGuardia Act, was before the Senate. And I still believe that any man charged with contempt of court, the punishment for which may be a term in jail, ought to be entitled to jury trial. Now, this bill not only is designed and intended to deprive people of the right of trial by jury in civil rights cases, but it takes them out of a limited punishment under the Clayton Act, which is now embodied in Title 18, Section 402.
I'd like to interrupt at
you
this point, if I may.
You must get the setting in which Senator Norris made that statement, Sam, and I'd like to just state the setting.
Mr. Sella, we'd have to be here really for hours if we were just to discuss this one single amendment alone, but there are many other facets to this civil rights bill that I think are very important.
Before we leave it, I just must get
a
this
short one,
very brief. Judge, you were a judge in the state of North Carolina and a very distinguished judge, and I would like nothing better than try cases where you were a judge, because I'd always get a fair trial. But you had to enforce the statutes of North Carolina when you were a judge. And in North Carolina, your own state, there is no possibility of a trial by jury for a violation of a contempt order. And in four cases that you had, in four trials where there was picketing, all fake cases involved striking textile mill workers, and they were all accused of violating injunctions against picketing, and you naturally made the ruling in accordance with the laws of your state that there could be no trial.
Senator, I will say one thing.
Before you take the mote out of my eye, look to the beam in your own.
Well, let me tell you just a minute. When I was a judge, I went by the law as it was established. I didn't try to substitute my personal notions for the law. And if all judges had followed my example, this country would be in a much better fix this day. But would you be willing to amend your bill so as to put the North Carolina practice in these matters into effect?
No, but I'm trying to say your state.
I don't blame you for not, because it would give these people in these injunction hearings a right to trial by jury on the merits. And
no
permanent injunction.
Well,
let's
go to
a
few other points here. I understand that the Attorney General becomes extremely powerful in this case. Is that true?
This bill is enacted law, it would make it the private possession of the Attorney General. He could do what he pleased. He could use it for one person, refuse it to use for another. He could use it against one person and refuse to use it against another. It's a total departure from the principle that courts of justice are established to administer equal and exact justice according to certain and uniform laws applying alike to all persons in like circumstances.
Mr. Sella.
Well, of course, that is rather a pontifical statement, Sam.
But a true one.
And it covers up your unfair opposition to this bill. I don't think any such power is given to the Attorney General at all. He has to, in the first instance, make his application to a district judge. It's a district judge that issues the order, and we've had many, many cases.
But the district judge couldn't issue an order unless the Attorney General elected to bring the suit, because no other human being in this entire universe could bring the suit or authorize it to be brought.
Well, you don't mean to bring condign indictment against all the federal judiciary. They're the ones that have to grant the injunction and to entertain the suit. The Attorney General simply originates it. I'm willing to rest my case with these judges, and those judges are confirmed by you and your colleagues in the Senate. I'm not worried about that. But as you say, Mr. Moderator, this bill contains other features. Among the features are that there shall be set up a commission to be composed of six members appointed by the Senate whose function shall be to study these conditions.
Well, that's appointed by the Senate or the President.
It's appointed by the Senate.
In that connection, that commission has got the powers of a kangaroo court. It goes around the country and conducts hearings while it wanders to and fro over the face of the United States.
No, not in my, not in the bill.
To investigate our written accusations.
No, not in the bill.
Try people that, without any authority to punish
Mr. Sella.
No, not in the bill that we, that the Judiciary Committee is now considering the House, which you were making. I made sure that those complaints have to be verified. And also that the commission has no roving power. They're limited to the judicial circuit. They cannot go all over the country.
The judicial circuit in the West would cover almost all of the Middle West and all the Rocky Mountain states. I believe the same judicial circuit runs from down in New Mexico and Arizona up through Colorado. And in my circuit, it would take in Virginia, North Carolina, Maryland, West Virginia, and South Carolina.
And if they summon witnesses, the witnesses receive subsistence allowances when they go to the place where the commission holds its sessions, and they receive mileage.
If I may interrupt you, I say that I do not, I'm like our founding fathers. I don't trust judges to find facts. I believe, just like Thomas Jefferson put in the Declaration of Independence, our founding fathers put in the Constitution, that trial of facts should be by jury, and I stand with that. And furthermore, this bill confers upon the Attorney General a power which no human being ought to have. He is given the power to strike down at his own election administrative remedies prescribed by state laws enacted by states
I'm told
this commission incidentally be a political football. Is that true?
Oh, no, that's ridiculous.
Let me give you
We've got one eye reply.
Let's see what
and
the
we'll
commission...
we'll go right back to you in a minute, Senator.
The commission does this, and certainly nobody could object to this, to investigate allegations that there's a deprivation of the right to vote by reason of color or race and national origins, and that they ought to study and collect information concerning legal developments constituting denial of equal protection of laws, and to appraise the laws and policies of the federal government with reference to equal protection under the 14th and 15th Amendment. What's wrong with that? Now, if the commission finds out the situation in your states, like you indicated, they would recommend that the situation remain the same. They wouldn't recommend any laws.
Senator,
if they find that there's evil,
what's wrong with that?
You got a question. Go ahead, sir.
And that my answer is that Congress has committees. Congress is the one that's due to legislate, and Congress has committees such as your committee, and the committee of which I'm a member that are equipped to investigate these matters, and why give it to the president?
Well, then that argument would have to be leveled against all the commissions appointed by
all
the president.
All of them I know have been appointed by the president. It's been appointed and put on of men like the Billy Goat that had already voted before they went on the commission. Now,
we have many commissions that are appointed by the president, and we have many instances where your Senate has approved and confirmed the members thereof. I think it's very essential for the executive branch as well as the legislative branch to have the right to investigate and to set up commissions. We set up special committees. These commissions have no power to legislate. They have to come back to us if they want legislation, and they make recommendations to us.
That's the reason I say we ought to do our own investigating. Now, I want to come back to the mote in your eye. You've talked about the beam in mine.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Senator.
The first time that an injunction was ever widely taken out of its historic place to enforce property rights against irreparable injury was in connection with labor. They started abusing the injunction in that. And Gompers was one time sentenced to jail in contempt of court and trial without a jury under the injunctive process, which this bill provides for, simply because he said there was no obligation on an American citizen to buy a stove from a company that against which a strike was being conducted now. In 1932, Senator George W. Norris brought a bill that provided for jury trials in all cases, both civil and criminal contempts in labor matters, and you are good and on sound ground, you voted for it. And I stand now where you stood then, and I would say Senator Norris said in the debate on that subject.
He said
that he'd been bothered by red and dry cranks on prohibition, and he said they ought not to be willing to do anything under the they were trying to deny the right of trial by jury. He said that they ought not to be willing to do anything under the prohibition law. They wouldn't do under all laws, and I return that, and I say we ought not to be willing to deprive people the right to trial by jury under the civil rights law by perverting the equity to the criminal field unless we're willing to do that in all and all laws.
Congressman Sella.
Well, I want to say that I voted for that Norris-LaGuardia Act, which accorded the right to trial by jury in labor disputes, because prior thereto, there had been a tremendous abuse by the courts in the granting of this.
You didn't have faith in federal judges then.
Excuse me,
Mr. Sella.
It all depends upon the circumstances, and that there was a that we had more or less government by injunctions. We had those were the days of the Yellow Dog contracts and the sweatshop conditions. There was a dreadful abuse of the powers. If we pass this law and the courts do the same thing that they did then, I would be the first to come forward and take away that right from the courts.
But just a minute.
If you're trying to indicate that I'm inconsistent, I remember what General Lee said to General Beauregard. True patriotism sometimes requires men to act exactly contrary at one period to that which they do at another period.
That's what you're doing.
General, we've got a few seconds left. I'd like to have a couple of predictions, if I could. Mr. Sella, first, in the House, what will happen to this bill? Will it go through?
We'll pass the bill.
With or without amendments?
There'll be some slight amendments, but we will defeat the trial by jury amendment, and I think we'll pass it by a vote of about 60 members.
Senator, what will happen in the Senate?
I would say if everybody in the Senate loves American constitutional and legal system as much as I do, the bill will be defeated in the Senate.
Will the Southerners filibuster it in the Senate?
No, we'll engage in an education campaign. I'd like to say this before we go. I've enjoyed being with my good friend, Helen.
Oh, I enjoyed it too, Sam. It's always good to be with you.
Gentlemen, I must interrupt. Our time is up. Thank you very much. Our guests today have been Senator Sam Ervin, Democrat of North Carolina, Congressman Emanuel Sella, Democrat of New York. The Reader's Digest article, Labor's Two-Front War Against the Rackets, originally scheduled for discussion today, will be heard next week at the same time.